listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
They were just down 13 here in Houston, and they scored 13 straight to tie it. Gordon breaks the tie with 31 seconds.
Veteran move from Eric.
You've got the wingspan of Bamba defending Tate again on the inbound. The last time this happened along the baseline, the Rockets couldn't get it inbounded.
These are the moments you live for.
Tate looking to Gordon. Comes around the wood screen, comes into the paint, off balance, throws it up and in. Eric Gordon again breaks the tie. 116, Orlando now calls a timeout.
Get ready to launch yourself in the latest Rockets news. You're listening to the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am your host, LaShar Binkley. Of course, you can always find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps. And I am a contributor for the Dream Shake. And you can check out my latest article that was on Steve Francis and his time here in Houston after the Rockets just honored him last night during the Rockets-Orlando game. As always, make sure that you leave us some stars, preferably 5 stars, or review. We would greatly appreciate it. And on today's show, we are actually going solo. I'm going solo as I'll be breaking down the Rockets-Orlando game where the Rockets pulled out a 2-point win and also the Rockets' 5-game winning streak. I will also be talking about some individual players that have been playing well the last week plus, even with all the injuries the Rockets have had in the second segment and last segment. We've broken down a little bit of the schedule coming up and talk about some of the other news that's been surrounding the team, with the team sending players down, bringing them back up, and also the ongoing, never-ending, all-consuming John Wall situation that has been hovering around the Rockets pretty much this entire year. I'll just talk briefly on that as well. But today we're going to start off with yesterday's thrilling 118-116 win where the Rockets – pulled out a victory. They led by double digits late in the fourth quarter, but Orlando made a run towards the end of the game. But Eric Gordon, who probably had his best game of the year, made the last two baskets. And that's actually the clip that you heard was the last two baskets the Rockets made. Both times the game was tied. Both times Eric Gordon got to the basket, made the shot, and gave the Rockets the lead. The last one was the game winner. With basically under 2 seconds left in the game, Eric Gordon was able to get to the basket off of actually a pretty good play overall, considering that I would say 5 minutes before that, they had a 5-second call with under a minute left where they couldn't get the ball in bounds on the baseline. Mo Bamba and 7 feet and his 20 feet wingspan, it seems, basically blocked out the sun, and Jayson Tate could not get the ball in. This time, Obama was guarding the inbound again, but this time they were along the sideline, which gave more room. You had Daniel House flaring out to the opposite corner. Then Garrison Matthews, the corner closest to Jayson Tate, was actually freed up Tate to be able to get the ball to Gordon, because Obama, for a brief second, thought that they were passing it to Garrison Matthews going in the corner. Actually, it was a good job selling that by Jayson Tate. And then Gordon popped out to the top of the key. Wood probably could have said a better pick, but he got at least enough of Cole Anthony where Eric Gordon was able to get in the lane. Even still, Mo Bamba still was able to get back into the play because he basically wasn't guarding Jayson Tate off the inbound. And Eric Gordon was able to sidestep him and still get the shot up over him and Carter for the game winner. Again, like I said, that was Eric Gordon's best game of the year. He had 24 points. Unfortunately, Kevin Porter Jr. went out early in the game. It looked like Wood was possibly going to go out because first half, he was struggling a little bit still with that ankle. But the third quarter, as Coach Sally said, he was mad for not getting the ball enough. He took over in that third quarter. He was a big reason why the Rockets had a lead to begin with. Like I said, unfortunately, Kevin Porter Jr. looked like he's going to be out for a while. He had the same thigh contusion, wasn't able to play through it. So it looks like him, and we also got news that Jalen Green is progressing, but it still doesn't look like he's going to be able to play anytime soon. They're going to reevaluate him in probably a week. I had that on my podcast last week with my man Okan, who is a physical therapist here in Houston, by the way, who broke that down. There's probably a grade one strain just because they are reevaluating every week instead of every 2 or 3 weeks. So hopefully that means that the next time they evaluate him, that we'll have a clearer timetable when he's going to come back. Not that they need to rush either player back, because yes, the Rockets are winning, and by some miraculous way they're able to get into the playoff picture, that'd be great, but that's not really the goal this year. It's just more about development. And you don't want to get your main players hurt, rushing them back to try to get a win or two here. Rockets are playing well enough to where each man is stepping up that you don't really need to rush those players back. Also, like I already mentioned, Christian Wood had a really good game, especially that third quarter. You also had, again, Garrison Matthews just making plays all over the court. I mean, he had a couple of steals that led to dunks, easy dunks for him. He had he started off really slow in the game. Actually, he couldn't make a shot. He had missed his first several three-pointers, but then he hit a couple of three-pointers late that was able to help the Rockets, you know, fend off Orlando coming back strong towards the end of the game. And he finished with 16 points. I mean, another person that Rockets basically dragged out of the G League that nobody else wanted. I mean, any other team could have signed Garrison Matthews after he didn't re-sign or was let go by the Wizards. And he was just there for the taking. And Rafael Stone did what he does, or does what he did. Or either way, you know what I mean. He was able to bring in another player that nobody else wanted, that was there for the taking. And he brought him in just like Imani Brooks, just like Jayson Tate last year. Just like several other players, KPJ, nobody thought to trade for him. That's why the Rockets only had to give up a heavily protected second-round pick. KJ Martin, nobody – the first 50 picks basically went by, and nobody even picked up KJ Martin. The Rockets picked him up. So this is what the Rockets do. And, you know, a little quick side note, this is why I don't think the Rockets would purposely ever tank, just because they got too many players that didn't have jobs basically last year or the year before. And they're still playing, trying to, you know, establish themselves in the league. So there's no way that these players that basically have to drag themselves out of obscurity where nobody else wanted them to get to the point where they are now, that they're going to all of a sudden say to themselves, oh, well, let's tank so then the Rockets can bring in other players that are going to take our spot. That's just not realistic. And also, Coach Silas is in the second year, and he knows that, you know, if you continue to lose, you know, no matter how great, you know, guy you are and much people like him, which, you know, everybody likes him. I don't see anybody that doesn't like him as a person. You have to still, you know, win enough games to where it doesn't look like you're in a franchise like, you know, the Sacramento Kings or somebody like that. So, yeah, that's why I don't see that anybody mentioning tank. Tank is just the wrong word. If the Rockets lose just because they're not good enough, that's one thing. But purposely losing, I mean, that's a front office type thing. And I don't even think this front office would like that. So I don't see that happening anytime soon, as you see by this 5-game winning streak. A couple other players that had really good games. Like I said, Jayson Tate, you know, as he does a little bit of everything. He had 15 points. He had 4 assists. He had 7 rebounds, 2 steals, even a block. And he basically was all over the court. I mean, Orlando basically was playing him for the 3. Mo Bamba was guarding him. He was pretty much just standing in the paint. They were daring Jayson Tate to shoot. Yeah, he only shot 2 for 6 from the 3-point range, but he still did enough to where you knew he was on the court pretty much the entire game. Even KJ Martin, he came in. He only played 14 minutes, but he had 7 points. And he was a +9. He was actually the highest plus minus on the team. And then, as usual, we had Şengün making, you know, the ridiculous all-star type plays where you just see him and you just think, man, he's only 19 years old. He's just going to get better and better. And I know people are liking him playing more minutes, but I think the Rockets are managing his minutes perfect, just because I don't think they're ready to give him a full 30-minute load right off of the, you know, coming out of the EuroLeague. They want to kind of work his way up to getting to 30 minutes a game. And I actually like him better come off the bench, just because he works better against second units, and you have such a huge advantage when he's on the court going against bench players from the opposing team. So, you know, Branson Gillen did what he always did, but a player that hasn't really done much this year because he's been, you know, injured for most of the year or just not in rotation was DJ Augustin. I mean, he came out, put up 8 points. He was 2 for 2 from 3-point range, 3 assists, and he just pretty much calmed down the offense, especially once, you know, KPJ went out the game. Rockets don't have another true point guard on the roster. I know Josh Christopher runs it a lot, but he's hadn't got to the point yet where he's like a true point guard that you can give 20 minutes a game running a point guard position. That's why he's been doing that a lot in the G League to get to that point. But DJ Augustin probably had his best game of the year. And also another player, Armani Brooks' shot was off, but he had 4 assists, which is huge. So that means that he was moving the ball around, something you have to do against Orlando because they just stay in the paint. They have so many 7-footers and 6'10 guys that you can't just be stagnant on offense and pay to get shots. So you have to move the ball around. And that's something Armani Brooks did a good job of, even though his shot was off last game. So you definitely want to give credit to him on that because he stepped in. The same thing from the G League last year. Came in, made a name for himself last year, and just continued to do that this year. So, again, Rafael Stone with another gem. And Armani Brooks, the former University of Houston Cougar, who, by the way, they play their championship game today against Cincinnati. I'm sure the people at Paul Slamma Jam are looking forward to that and will be covering that all day long. But, again, the Rockets pull out the 118-116 win. That is 5 straight games they've won after losing 15 straight. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw this stat floating around. They are the first team to lose 15 straight games and then immediately win 5 straight games right after the losing streak. So it's just crazy how this season has turned around that fast, partly because of the rotation. That's definitely a big part of it, but just also because players are just playing better. And also you have to give credit to Coach Silas for keeping his team together and pushing the right buttons. He didn't have to play Garrison Matthews. I don't think that was what a lot of people were clamoring for at first, but they see now, and that's something I mentioned when he came to the Rockets, that, you know, he brings them a knockdown shooter, him and Armani Brooks, people that do not hesitate. They just shoot. And no matter who's on them, no matter defense, they're going to get their shot off. And him and Brooks have made a huge difference on the spacing. I mean, the Rockets may not always hit all their threes, but the spacing is just so much better now. It's like night and day. So, as you see, the Rockets are playing well. They have another game coming up tomorrow before that game against the hated James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets. So we will definitely be looking forward to that. And then that will pretty much wrap up the first segment. Second segment, we're going to be breaking down some of the individual performances during the 5-game streak. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And welcome back to the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. And in the first segment, we broke down the Rockets' recent win. They got into 5 straight wins and a 118-116 win over the Orlando Magic with Eric Gordon's game-winning shot with less than 2 seconds left. In the second segment, we're going to be talking about some of the individual performances during that 5-game winning streak and the reasons why they are able to get to 5 straight wins without after losing 15 straight. And, of course, we want to start off with probably the biggest reason why the Rockets have won 5 straight is Christian Wood, who – even though despite the injury he suffered against OKC where he played under 10 minutes, has been the biggest reason why the Rockets have won 5 straight. During that 5-game winning streak, Christian Wood is averaging just a little under 19 points a game. He's shooting 80% from the free throw line. Let me say that again, 80% from the free throw line. I mean, that's huge for Christian Wood, a guy who's struggled all year long. It's been actually a big point of emphasis when it comes to Christian Wood's game is he was shooting around 50% for the free throw line for most of the year. He shot 12 of 15 the last 5 games. And that's huge considering that he's, you know, 15 free throws in 5 games may not be a lot, but the fact that he's shooting 80%, that makes up for the lack of free throws he's been getting lately. And he's also averaging over 12 rebounds a game during that time. And also only 1 turnover. And yes, Christian Wood didn't handle the ball a lot, but he does bring the ball up, even though he has been bringing up a lot less lately. And I think that's a really good thing. He's been getting the ball to the KPJ and the players that can actually get the ball up the court faster and get the team in the right offense. So that's definitely a good thing. And he's averaging just a little under 2 blocks a game, which is also huge. Actually, his defense has been pretty good all year, especially the last 5 games. Him rotating out onto guards after they try to run pick and roll has been huge. Teams are not able to take advantage of the Rockets' 2-big lineup anymore since Tice is not in a rotation. and they have Christian Wood at center. So teams aren't able just to switch Daniel Tice onto a point guard and take advantage of that. Christian Wood has actually been doing a really good job switching out onto a ball handler, forcing them to give the ball back up, making them take tough shots and not just, you know, letting teams take advantage of the Rockets center in that pick and roll situation. So Christian Wood has been, you know, huge during that time. Of course, another player that we all know has been great is, you know, is Jayson Tatum. Actually, an article I wrote about him, I wrote that he's been the most consistent player since he's been here the last 2 years. I mean, last year with all the turmoil, he was consistent. This year, during the 15-game winning streak, he was still consistent. He was still out there playing hard every game. Then he had the huge game against OKC, the career night, where he put up 30 points and over 10 rebounds. I mean, just, you know, big-time play from Jayson Tatum. I mean, during this five-game winning streak, he's averaging 17 points, 5.6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a block per game. I mean, that's just amazing. And shooting over 92% from the free throw line. I mean, that's big time, you know, especially as much as he plays in the paint. The only thing, his three-point shooting is down a little bit, and that's something I know he's still working on. But are we really going to, you know, go back and forth about three-point shooting when the guy is putting up those kind of numbers and is playing hard every single night? You definitely don't, you know, not going to worry too much about it. Of course, you would like that closer to 35%. But as hard as he worked, I can't imagine him not getting there eventually the next year or two. He'll eventually get to a point where teams are not going to leave him open on three-point line. And, of course, you know, Aperin Şengün, who, again, is only getting around 19, 20 minutes a game, but those 19, 20 minutes are always impactful. Anytime he's on the court, players are absolutely moving a lot more than they are when he's not on the court because they know he would get them the ball in the right spots. I know Coach Tyler's been trying to put them a lot at the high post where they can do the handoffs or they can do the backdoor cuts. So anytime he's on the court, players know, especially when it seems like when KJ Martin's on the court, he loves playing with Aperin Şengün because he pretty much always gets the ball in the right position for the dunk or the layup. So Aperin Şengün, which he's been doing all year, so it's not just been during this five-game winning streak. But, of course, you know, we can't talk about this five-game winning streak without talking about the shooters, specifically Garrison Matthews, who during this five games, and guess what? How many games he's played this year? How many games he's played? It's actually been five games. And the Rockets have won those last five games. And during that time, he's playing around 33 minutes a game, which is actually the most during that time. He's playing pretty much from the start. He sits a little bit during the second quarter, but for most of the game, he's out on the court. He's actually putting up, which is amazing, 16 points. He's shooting 54% from the field, 46% from three-point range. And just remember, this is a guy that Washington didn't want, went to the G League. Nobody else bothered to try to even pick him up. Rockets added him to their G League roster, and bam, just like that, he comes in, he's taking charges. He's already had 6 or 7 charges already in this only a handful of games that he's played. He's opened up the court a lot. He's made a lot of great plays, a lot of dirty plays that win games that may not show up in the box score. I mean, probably next to Christian Wood and Jayson Tate, he's been the biggest reason why they've won 5 straight games. And also Armoni Brooks has been great coming off the bench, giving them another shooter, something the Rockets really lacked for most of the year, especially during that 15-game winning streak. They were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league during that 15-game winning streak. And during those last five games, which, amazingly enough, Armoni Brooks has been part of mostly all of those games, he's shooting 40% from three-point range on 7 attempts per game and has completely opened up the court along with Garrison Matthews and made it easier for players like KPJ and hopefully eventually Jalen Green, who we didn't really get to see with this more open court spread out lineup because he got hurt during that first game. But when he comes back, you'll definitely see the difference in his game. He'll be able to get to the basket more. He'll be able to go downhill. He won't be having to fight against Daniel Tice's man, who's just basically sitting in the paint. And before I go any further, actually, I like Daniel Tice as a player. I just don't think he fits very well with this particular team. But with a contender, I think he'll be a great asset. He's just in a bad situation with the Rockets where they need more spacing. They don't need a down low player, a banging out guy who's down low and who can get rebounds, tough rebounds, and play against big center. That's just not really the Rockets' game. So I think eventually once he's able to be traded, I think the Rockets will actually probably move on from Daniel Tice just because they didn't think Alperen Sengun was going to be this good this early. So I think that that's kind of playing out to why Daniel Tice is not on the court. Again, I think some team will find out that he can help their team, and the Rockets will probably move on from him. But also, like we spoke about in the first segment, Eric Gordon has been on and off during his five-game winning streak, but again, had his best game last game. But I mean, during a five-game winning streak, he's actually shooting 46% from three-point range on almost six attempts. He's putting up 15 points a game. He's actually playing the second most minutes during that five-game winning streak. So this is definitely – this is actually Eric Gordon we were seeing last year before he got hurt. He bounced back after having his worst year a couple of years ago. He actually bounced back and had a good year last year before he got hurt and having probably one of his best years in the last several years this year. And he's probably going to be part of the veterans that are going out that the Rockets are going to look to move on from. And he'll probably be one of the guys the Rockets look to try to get younger players for, even though, honestly, he can really help this team. But I just think that the Rockets are still looking in the direction of playing younger guys. So until he's gone, Eric Gordon is going to definitely help out this team, being probably their best two-way player. When you look at how good he still is on defense, especially in the post, when bigger guys still, for some reason, think they can post up Eric Gordon. And as you see, it never works out that way. So Eric Gordon's been great during his five-game winning streak. Coach Silas has been making the right plays. He still calls some of the best ATOs after timeout plays that you're going to see that a lot of people may not even notice. The Rockets just been clicking on all cylinders, and we'll see coming up. They have a game, like I said, again tomorrow. And then they have the big game, of course, against the Brooklyn Nets. And just imagine if they go into that game with a six-game winning streak against James Harden, Kevin Durant, and the Brooklyn Nets, who they're still the number one team in the East, but they have been struggling back and forth, trying to win games. So you do give the Rockets a fighting chance in that game, even though it does hurt not having Jalen Green and probably won't have KPJ back at that point. I have to imagine he's going to miss several games. After hurting this, having the exact same injury as he did earlier in the year. So, again, the Rockets have been playing great during that five-game streak. They have the longest winning streak in the league. That's amazing, considering how bad they were for 15 games. They have the longest winning streak in the league after the Suns lost to the Warriors yesterday. And I guess some of the Rockets fans can come up for air from being under the water. After Eddie Johnson suggests they stay underwater until the Suns lose a game. So I guess now we can all take a breath. Thank you, Eddie Johnson. Appreciate that. So let's go wrap it up for the second segment. And in the last segment, we're going to talk about some more of the upcoming schedule. And I'm going to give my thoughts again, unfortunately, on the John Wall situation that doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And continue here on the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. If you enjoy the show, which of course you do, that's why you're listening, do us a favor and drop a review or leave us some stars. We would greatly appreciate it. As we always appreciate everyone that tunes in every week to the Launchpad Podcast. In the first two segments, we actually broke down some of the five-game winning streak players that still stood out in those five games. In this last segment, I want to kind of go over more of the schedule that's coming up for the Rockets and also give my opinion for the 1,000th time because the news just keeps coming back out on the John Wall situation and how the Rockets are handling that and how they should handle it. But before we get into the John Wall stuff, I wanted to break down the schedule coming up. As I mentioned earlier, the Rockets have a game tomorrow. That will be against the New Orleans Pelicans, who are still without Zion Williamson, who was actually supposed to practice the other day, but had a setback and is still not actually fully practicing with the team. So the Rockets will not be seeing him tomorrow. It'll basically be Brandon Ingram, Steven Adams, pretty much the same team that they faced before because Zion Williamson has been out for a long period of time now. And then, of course, like we've been talking about for a while, they have the big game against Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday in Houston at 7 o'clock. They'll be facing off against James Harden and and the Brooklyn Nets. And then on Friday following that game, they have the Milwaukee Bucks. Unfortunately, probably won't see KPJ going for 50-point game number two against the Bucks. So the Rockets will be taking on the Bucks on next Friday. And then they'll be playing the Memphis Grizzlies, who I'm not sure if Ja Morant will be back by then, because he's been out with the injury he had actually a week or two ago. So we'll see if he'll be back for that game. And then they'll be finishing it off with on December 13th, they'll be playing against the Hawks. And then that next Wednesday, they'll be playing against the Cavaliers in Cleveland. But again, they have some winnable games coming up, especially if Ja Morant is out against the Grizzlies. Who knows what can happen in a Brooklyn game. Last year when they played Brooklyn the first time against James Harden, they actually was in the game most of the game, but Brooklyn was able to pull away late because Joe Harris went absolutely crazy against them from three-point range. And actually, Joe Harris has been out of the lineup. And I don't know if it doesn't look like actually he's going to be back anytime soon. So that's one less shooter that the Brooklyn Nets will have. So, you give the Rockets a fighting chance in that game because the Rockets are playing well. Brooklyn's, they're still winning, but they haven't exactly been blowing teams out lately. Teams have been able to hang with them and make the games a lot closer than I'm sure Brooklyn would like. So that'll be interesting to see tomorrow game against the Pelicans. Like I said, no Zion Williamson, so you're basically going to be focused on Brandon Ingram. Steven Adams always gives the Rockets trouble, but again, with Christian Wood at center, he should actually be able to give him a lot more trouble on the offensive end. They have some other, role players. They have Graham, who they got from the Charlotte Hornets. He's one of their guards. They're kind of a mixed match lineup that's kind of been in and out all year. They have Alexander Walker. He's another one of their guards, but they don't have anybody outside of Brandon Ingram that you just completely scared of and you have to focus your defense on. So even without KPJ and Jalen Green, the Rockets should actually win this game going into having a six-game winning streak going into that game with Brooklyn, which who would have imagined this a couple of weeks ago that the Rockets would have a possible six-game winning streak going into their first matchup of the year against James Harden, Kevin Durant, and the Brooklyn Nets. So that is their upcoming schedule. Again, I also want to give my opinion on the John Wall situation that just will not go away. There was more reports coming out that after John Wall met with the Rockets twice, the Rockets reiterated again that they would love John Wall to come back and play. Let me say that again, because people don't seem to understand that for whatever reason. They still think the Rockets are holding him out and not letting him play. No, the Rockets want John Wall to play. They just want John Wall to come off the bench. And I don't even think now with the KPJ injury, now I could be wrong. Maybe they changed their mind and now they want John Wall to start. But I don't understand the benefit of that because you start John Wall now. KPJ's not out for the season. He comes back, then what? John Wall's going to go right back to the bench. And why would he want to do that? Why would he even agree to do that? He wants to be the starter. He wants basically no strings attached. He wants to be a starter the rest of the year. I don't think he wants to be a part-time starter. He doesn't want to be a backup quarterback who gets to play a couple of games, and then when the starter comes back, he's back to the bench. So that's why I don't really see the Rockets doing that now. I think the Rockets are just going to stick to what they've been doing. DJ Augustine, Eric Gordon playing some point guard, maybe Josh Christopher get some playing time at point guard, which I think he should anyway, especially if he's not going back to the Rio Grande. They sent Deshaun Nix down today, actually. So they haven't reported that they're sending Josh Christopher back. So if he's going to be there, he might as well play some of that backup point guard minutes and let DJ Augustine start the game. He doesn't have to play 30 minutes, but you might as well let Josh Christopher, which he's been doing in the G League the first couple of games he was there, play in the point guard position. So he should be able to get some minutes at point guard. It was also reported today by multiple people that Kevin Porter Jr. did not practice today, which is not a surprise because he's not going to be back for a while. He tried to come back early after the thigh contusion that he had, and he wasn't able to play through it. So it's no reason to rush him back. Just take your time, him and Jalen Green, let them get fully healed and then bring him back. So you won't be seeing Kevin Porter Jr. again for a while. But again, that all goes to John Wall. John Wall could play tomorrow or at least be on the roster, with a chance to play tomorrow if he would just agree to come off the bench. It's as simple as that. He agrees to come off the bench, a la Derrick Rose. David Aldridge actually had an article about this, about how John Wall needs to change his mentality. Derrick Rose came off the bench. Manu Ginobili came off the bench. Like if you want to go back to the '80s, Kevin McHale, who was in the prime of his career, who won six man several times, came off the bench. John Wall is going to be a Hall of Famer, yes, but he's at the point of his career. He needs to be out there playing. And if your team wants you to play off the bench, then you need to play off the bench. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's not like the Rockets are saying, we don't want you to play at all, a la Kemba Walker, who's completely out of their rotation. The Rockets would be perfectly fine with him playing. And who knows? Maybe he plays well enough that he ends most of the game, which is the most important thing anyway. Starting is not the most important thing. It's who ends the game. That's winning time. So if John Wall would put aside his ego, tell the Rockets he wants to come off the bench, the Rockets would welcome him back with open arms and have no problem. I think that's what a lot of people are, for some reason, not understanding. The Rockets aren't keeping John Wall from playing. John Wall is keeping himself from playing. So at the end of the day, the Rockets are doing what's best for them and their development long term. And John Wall can play tomorrow if he would just say, I'll come off the bench like y'all want me to. It's as simple as that. There's no other way to spin it. When it comes down to why John Wall is not playing, it's his choice and his choice only. So that's going to do it for today's show. Again, we always appreciate y'all coming in, joining us, listening to the podcast, especially over the last couple of years where it hasn't been a lot of wins. Luckily, we've been having some wins lately, but we appreciate y'all sticking around these last couple of years through Clutch City Control Room and now Launchpad Podcast. I just want to say thank you because it's been a great ride and hopefully continue more great moments coming up. And hopefully I'll be able to present those to you. Next week, we'll be back to having guests on the show. And I appreciate you listening to me rambling to myself for, I don't know, 30, 35 minutes of this podcast. And again, the Rockets will be going for six straight tomorrow against the New Orleans Pelicans. And if so, that will help the big matchup Wednesday against the Brooklyn Nets, where the Rockets will be going for seven straight wins. Your Houston Rockets are currently the hottest team in the league. I will say that again. Your Houston Rockets are the hottest team in the National Basketball Association at five straight wins. Let that soak in and definitely enjoy the rest of your Saturday and the rest of your weekend. That's going to do it for today's episode. So if you haven't already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow Apollo HOU for blogs, merch, video podcasts, and original Houston sport content not found anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of the Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.